dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show as we come to you for the final time here in 2013-2014. Started back in the fall with 10 shows and then into the winter with 10, and then now we wrap up our spring season with 10. And I'm joined here, as I always am, by Jeremy Ward. And, you know, Jeremy, we've been using the term podcast show here for so long, but it's kind of turned in more to as this type of media grows more to an online radio, so to speak. And it got me thinking coming into this particular show. I've been talked to so much across the area by a variety of fans from a variety of sports. And I guess I just would throw out to the fans, what would you like to have in 2015? I know a lot of people love the show and want the show to stay, but there's been a desire to maybe do some more live games. Jeremy, as we think back, you and I have done a basketball game in the sectional Southeastern down there at Athens. We've done a baseball game. We did Zane Trace in a regular season. You and I also did a sectional volleyball with Uniota. So it's something we've definitely done, had great feedback. I guess, Jeremy, as I welcome you here for the final time in this sports season, just some of your thoughts on the history of the website and then maybe looking forward to the future of this online radio and some of the abilities that we might be able to provide for our SVC fans.
Well, as always, the feedback is what drives the show, and I think the progression has, you know, moved on throughout the year, especially this year, where – you know, we've kind of let the audience dictate changes and additions to the program, and we definitely want to keep improving. But at the same time, I think we want to rely on our listeners and our loyal folks that contribute, whether it's just, you know, a personal statement or a text or an email or whatever it might be, just giving us ideas and feedback that allows us to make things better. So we certainly don't want to get away from anything just for the sake of changing, but always looking for a way to improve and to increase our support and promotion of the athletes in the SVC.
Well, Jeremy, before we get started, I think that I really need to take a minute just to thank the people in at Triple Crown Family Fun Center here in Chillicothe. Just incredible support, the growth of the website, and now this particular show, SVC Sports Talk, has really offered us an opportunity to do just what you say in that last statement, which is to support and spread the word about what's going on in our great league. And so again, thank you very much to those people. Well, fans, I'll tell you what, with this being our final show of the season, we count down our top 10 favorite SVC moments from the entire sports season. As we go, Jeremy and I will comment and reminisce a little, and we invite you to do the same. So here we go. On the other side of the break, we start at 10 and work our way down to number 6. Well, Jeremy, basically what I've done here to set this show up is I've taken some of the different feedback from fans throughout the year. I've taken our conversations. I've taken my conversations from people out in the area and some of the feedback you're getting as well. And then I just kind of ranked them and put them into a particular order. So with that in mind here, we'll obviously get the list started with our 10th selection.
Number 10.
Jeremy, I go with SVC Welcomes Wrestling. The word comes out earlier this year at the Side of Valley Conference. We'll be welcoming wrestling in as a recognized sport. And, you know, and as I think back to the wrestling season, we had five athletes wrestle all the way to the state level, four from Paint Valley with Tyler Stoneburner, Tegan McFadden, Caleb Johnson, Mark Clifford, and then Des Perkins from Southeastern. And I guess when you talk elite athletes, it's no surprise that those are all names that show up in multiple sports. I know the Paint Valley kids were a part of the playoff team there in football. Des Perkins was a special of athlete as we've had in the league this entire year. And then some of those Paint Valley kids there on the regional baseball team as well. But, you know, as I think back to wrestling, you know, not to overshadow what the amazing work ethic and accomplishment of those kids, it just seems like to me, when I look at it from the league standpoint, this particular news coming out is something that sticks out as a top 10 story to me. Just your thoughts here in terms of what you think this means for wrestling moving forward and how it could influence the league overall.
Well, anytime that you can add and there's signs of growth in the conference, we have to look at that as a positive. And, you know, everything that we do here and, you know, the reason for high school athletics is to increase involvement and to give kids an outlet. So anytime you can expand, it's a good thing. Also, I mean, if you think about the success that the SVC overall has had in the types of sports that can be both individual and team oriented, you know, there's always been a lot of strength there. So it really, you know, as we talk about, you know, expansion and this and that and big school, small school, wrestling is another one of those sports where, you know, there's two ways to succeed and get to the next level as far as the postseason goes. So, you know, again, any expansion for the league is great.
Well, you make some really interesting points there, and I'll kind of hold off on some of the follow-up questions I might have there because I think it is going to go into some of our particular topics that cover in the top nine. But I love the point you're making there about how a lot of times the success can come from some of the individuals, and we definitely had seen that as fans. You can go back to our wrestling page and recognize those five athletes that I mentioned there in number 10.
Number nine.
Jeremy, it's triple OT in the township. For my ninth selection, I got to thinking back to probably the best sporting event I was at this year, regular season or not. I don't really care. What a special game this was. I was looking back at our at the website on our scoreboard, and again, I want to use this show also to thank some of our sponsors here, with Chris Good being one of those. Doc Good sponsors our scoreboard, and as I look down through, this was a game 13-13 after one, with Huntington eventually going on in triple overtime to beat Edina there in Huntington that night. And then Edina really opens it up. They go up 28-23 at half, 42-31 in the third, and then Huntington comes back. Lucas Sarver with just a phenomenal game, makes some big plays at the end of the fourth quarter in some of the OTs. And Huntington ends up going on 59-56. And, you know, a lot of people might think, well, what's the big deal? You know, Huntington goes on to be 7-7. Edina drops to 3-11. But, you know, I think people who coach understand that when you look at some of the games that followed, some of the games that Huntington maybe was able to win, Edina ended up going on to lose some close games. A lot of times, the difference in taking three wins and seven wins is just two, three particular situations where you execute or don't. And before you know it, you're 5-9, 6-8, one way or the other, be it good or bad. And I also think it can play a role into the next season when you look at the way the boys look. I guess my question for you, Jeremy, is you think back to this incredible night and you think back to maybe the bottom half of the league in boys basketball. You know, what are some of the things you take from this 2013-14 season, not just your memories this year, but maybe how you think it could impact the league moving forward in the next?
When you look at things on the larger scale, I think you make some interesting suggestions there, particularly when you have a team like Huntington that had, you know, been used to being at the top of the league and had a lot of experience, but maybe not a lot of depth. You know, they kind of fought all year long like this to kind of stick in the middle of the standings and, you know, stuck their nose against some of the better of the teams. Just couldn't really get on a winning streak, like you say, to flip-flop your record, if you will. And on the other side with Edina, you've got you know, a team trying to break through to try to get to that middle of the pack, you know, try to get some of those signature wins that build confidence moving forward and, you know, get over the hump. And, you know, I think it's that game was kind of proof that you get over one hump, get a couple victories, but then you got to get over another hump to start climbing the teams ahead of you. And I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be in that boat next year where they're going to have to, you know, solidify their identity or reform their identity. And there's definitely going to be a lot of questions, but you're going to see a lot of kids change physically and improve. And, you know, we're going to have outstanding guard play in the league. And, you know, if you can't handle the ball and you can't guard the perimeter, you're not going to have a lot of success. So I think there's a lot of aspects and a lot of little things within that game and the players involved in that game that really allude to things to come in the future and the SVC.
Well, let me ask you a quick follow-up here on the boys basketball, because I'm really intrigued by next year's league. You know, in conversation with people, a lot of people have always asked me, is it fair to say that every team in the league next year will be better than it was this year, with the exception for Huntington? And the more I think about that, I guess that's a pretty fair statement. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Paint Valley, Edina, Westfall. Paint Valley, Edina go 3-11. Westfall goes 1-13. You look in boys basketball, only Southeastern and Paint Valley go to the Convo, and Paint Valley has that district runner-up finish. But I guess when I look at Paint Valley coming back, they have three of the top, 10, maybe 11, depending on what your opinion is, 11, 12 players in the league. Edina has a lot of talent coming back, led by Thomas. And then Westfall has two young guards that are only going to get a year better, year stronger. Can those three really start to stick their nose in to where life becomes a little bit more difficult on some of these top teams? Do you look for a better overall league next year?
Well, that's possible. You know, a lot of things can happen over the summer, but still, I think depth continues to be, you know, the deciding factor. And when it's depth with physicality, it's not just the fact that teams can go depth, you can go deep on their bench. It's the fact of the types of kids that they can bring in and not lose a beat. And you see that with Union and Zane Trace. And, you know, as those kids, as juniors and seniors, start to get even more physically strong and athletic, I think you can't counteract that. It's not like those two teams are just going to stay where they are. So if you figure they're going to get a little bit better and the other teams are going to get a little bit better, you know, I guess you have to factor that in a little bit.
Well, those are all great points, because I know, again, going back to my number 9 point there, that game I was just watching that Edina team play late in the year and seeing some of the things. And then you look at some of the success that Paint Valley had, and then the Westfall backcourt getting better. It'll be interesting to see how that all balances out next year. I'm real excited for the basketball season.
Number 8.
Well, Jeremy, in the 8th spot, I go individual shine and fall. And, you know, I loved what you said earlier about a lot of times with the enrollment factors, it kind of makes the team standings I hate to use the word boring, because it's you know, you still enjoy following it and going through the different things. But I guess from a media standpoint or from a fan standpoint, a lot of the team titles aren't that hard to pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, your Uniota golf in a lot of years, Uniota boys cross country, Zane Trace girls cross country. With, you know, Uniota golf, they win it for the 14th time in 21 years of the sport. But as I look back through, obviously the Uniota cross country, girls cross country starting some dynasties of their own. But as I look back through, there's a lot of neat individual stories in the fall. I look at Irvin at Huntington finishing 10th place in the All-Ohio finish. McKee makes it to the state as well, the fine golfer there at Southeastern. Thompson of Paint Valley is the POY. I know Wolf at Zane Trace and girls cross country, not only the SVC runner of the year, but was 13th at the state cross country meet. Kane Dixon went to the state, was also the SVC runner of the year. So I guess I look back, and I guess that's the point you were making earlier, Jeremy. That's why I saved the question, because I knew it was coming up here in this particular part of the show. But I'm intrigued by what you said earlier. Don't you agree that this is the perfect situation or scenario of what you were saying earlier about how a lot of times maybe our league doesn't offer the greatest of situations enrollment-wise in some of the secondary sports, if you will, or sports that are impacted by number on your roster, but it still gives you a great opportunity to highlight some individuals all the way through at all eight schools?
Well, no question about it. And I think, you know, the great thing about the fall is you have – more sports than any other season. You know, you've got the beginning of the school year, you get to know new athletes. And, you know, I think this fall, this past fall in particular, was a great indicator of kind of the way things were going to go for the whole year. And not only having success at the district level, but, you know, you look in the fall, how many teams and how many individuals were able to qualify at the state level. And, you know, I guess when you throw in volleyball, having two teams in the regional finals that return almost their entire roster for the following season, you think, you know, this coming fall could even be, you know, more impressive. And I think that, again, you know, you have that variety. You can follow the individuals in the league. You're going to be able to follow some teams, but it's always exciting when you start to overlap seasons. And I think that all began in the fall for the conference.
Well, I think that's a great point. You know, I know Westfall girls in golf have done some things to put that on the map there, with Post being a very talented player up there for the Lady Mustangs. I know they fall short of the return trip to the state. But, yeah, as I look down through there, I agree with what you're saying. I think that's what's neat about doing this type of show is here we get all the way to the end of the spring. It kind of gives us a chance to make sure that maybe fans are kind of remembering or looking back on all the special athletes all the way back to the fall season. So, yeah, some great points there and some great seasons for those individuals back in the fall of 2013.
Number seven.
Well, Jeremy, in that seventh spot, I decided to go with nothing regular about the volleyball season, and I'm referring to the regular season here. I guess as I get to thinking about volleyball, obviously there's some postseason stories that we definitely need to highlight in the show. But I guess in this particular spot, it got me thinking about the regular season. And, you know, Westfall is your champion with Uniota game back there. But, you know, as I think of some of the storylines, Haley Carl with the 1,000th career kill mark and is the player of the year. And I know we had some other great seniors in the league as you look down through with Ingram there at Huntington, and then I know Pelfrey at Piketon and some different things, but you made a great point earlier. We have so much talent coming back, and you know, in the regular season, the stat that jumps out at me as I look back at our archives page, there'd be 56 matches played in the SVC season with 14 nights and 4 matches per night. I know the two of us do not teach math, but I believe that's correct. So 23 four or five set matches in the SVC, Jeremy, last year. And for people who watch a lot of volleyball, a lot of times know that straight set wins can become very common when you get a team that's very superior to their opponent. So right. When I see a situation where there's 23, four or five set matches, that tells me we have great parity in that top half. It tells me we have teams in the middle that had started to close the gap maybe a little bit, but not be able to get over the hump and win that 3 out of 5. And then even at the bottom of the league, we had some people really jockeying for some positions. So when you think back to the regular season, I guess that's what jumped out at me. Just some of your thoughts that jumped out at you about Westfall's run to the championship.
Well, you talk about impressive. I mean, when you go through all the stats that you just provided on the league and, you know, how critical momentum is in a sport like volleyball, I think another thing that leads to long 4 and 5 set matches is the importance of, you know, how teams match up against each other and just the diversity of the offense and defensive, you know, approaches of the teams in our conference and how, you know, certain teams just have the ability to give other teams fits, and that just leads to you know, very competitive conference. And then, you know, Westfall, I think, maybe was a victim of their own success a little bit in the tournament, because it just seemed like they went 2.5 weeks without having, you know, a game that was even close. And then when they finally ran up against a quality opponent, they just weren't as sharp as they would have liked to been. But, you know, I think a lot of those girls made up for that this past weekend. But nonetheless, you know, again, I think everybody around the area looks to the SVC to set the standard in volleyball, and this year was no exception.
Well, Jeremy, you definitely make a couple key points about the postseason that we'll get to as we move up our list toward number one. But I thought it was really important to highlight that particular regular season of one of the, if not the best sport we play in our conference, definitely one that's in the discussion. And, you know, sometimes I know we get so excited about the end result in the postseason that I think we as fans and media forget to recognize that 14 match or 14 game grind, right, that it takes to be an SVC championship. So I really like that particular storyline there in our seven hole.
Number six,
Jeremy, we go with Warriors Dominate the Diamond. And as we finish out the first five, if you will, here on our way to number one, again, we're looking in the regular season, and we look at the Edina Warriors. Back on Monday, April 14th, they fall in a one-run decision, 6-5 to Zane Trace, and that's really the only decision that keeps them from the gold. And in that particular game, I know they led 4-3, and Zane Trace scored to three in the fifth inning there to win. But you know, when I think of this past spring, again, it's a situation in the regular season where, you know, 2 through 8, there are some incredible parity in our league, really too close to call in terms of separating those particular teams when you look at the head-to-head matchups. But Edina ends up being the one team that kind of separated themselves from that, led by great senior leadership on the two most important positions on the diamond, and then a lineup with great versatility and a lot of 4 and 5 tool kids throughout that entire lineup. Just a really special group of kids. Yeah, Jeremy, I guess as we look at this sixth spot on our list here, just your take as you look back and what you'll remember about this particular Edina Warrior squad.
Well, you know, I think we talked about how sometimes your performances at the end of the season or in the postseason can really jumpstart or catapult your success the following year. And I think we saw just that last spring when Edina made
great point, yeah,
in the postseason. And you know, then all of a sudden, you know, when Shepherd takes the mound and you know you've got two fine players like he and Harper that weren't ready to just let Edina have a down year last year by their standards, you kind of knew that type of composure and confidence was going to lead to some success. But, you know, running away with the league the way they did, very, very impressive. You know, I think we knew that they were the most complete team coming in, but just weren't sure that they would dominate in the manner that they were able to do so.
Well, I tell you, when I think of this Edina team, I love what you said about last year's postseason, because I think that's something to keep in mind this time of year when you see, and that's all postseasons, be it back in the fall and in the winter and now, and when you have kids returning and how that can really be that trampoline effect for your program moving forward. I definitely think you saw that with this year's Edina team, as they really rolled to the league title at 13-1. Well, fans, we are halfway done. Stay with us as we continue to count it down to our number one SVC moment of the season. Jeremy in that fifth spot. We will go two for the Tanks, and we're referring to basketball season. If you go back to the winter, you'll see boys basketball, girls basketball. Both were championship teams for the Uniota Shermans. And on the girls' side, the Coach Miller and his lady, Shermans, captured the gold ball with a perfect season. And on the boys basketball side, Uniota very dominant on their way to the 13-1 mark as they take the SVC crown as well. And you know, when you look boys basketball, we mentioned earlier with SC and PV winning the sectional titles and Paint Valley being the district runner up. And then on the girls side, it was kind of a tough postseason too. Piketon and Huntington, only two teams to go to the district and both lose in the first round there. But, you know, Jeremy, I guess when we look back, the regular season, it's hard not to think about Uniota and the SVC champions. But at the same time, when you go into the postseason, it's kind of a rough go of it on both seasons. And I guess I have a two-part question for you. One, how impressed you were with Uniota and really as you go into 2015, their ability to repeat. And do you see a little bit of some increased success from some of these younger teams maybe growing up throughout the league standings, maybe not being able to overtake Uniota and boys or girls, but maybe preparing themselves for a better postseason?
Well, you know, I'll start with boys. You know, I think Uniota grew up a lot. There's no question that, you know, everybody understood the talent and the potential that they had, but being able to put that together was a challenge that Coach Hoops had, and you know, that some of those young players meshing with each other had to do and take it upon themselves to do it now if they wanted to compete for a title. And I think that's something that they expected. They weren't going to just wait another year. They were ready to get a taste that they had, you know, shared a couple years previously with Piketon. So, you know, I think if anything, they may have exceeded expectations in the regular season, but not, you know, not without earning it over some very, you know, they had some tough games with Zane Trace, just a classic out at Zane Trace late in the year. It really impressive performances by, you know, by different players night in and night out. And I think that's what makes champions. But, you know, just as their girls saw, you have a great regular season, you go into the sectional tournament, and then all of a sudden the sectional finals, you're not even the favorite of the home team to get out. And right. You know, I think that says something about the depth and part of that, you know, although disappointing, you know, their district was filled this year on both the boys and girls side with some very senior laden teams that have been successful for a long time, and it was just a little too much for them to overcome, which leads to the girls in very similar fashion as Adina ran away with the league. You know, ran into a difficult Miami Trace team, but you're looking at two teams here that are going to return a lot of players and certainly going to have the targets on their back. And there's not going to be any questions about, you know, who everybody's gunning for. And in the girls league, I think there's going to be some teams that, you know, have the potential and have the experience at the guard position to challenge Uniota a little bit more. You know, this year, quite frankly, there just weren't enough solid, experienced guards to allow the other teams to compete. But I think, you know, with more experience being in the league next year, you'll see a lot closer games, and you'll see the Lady Shermans pushed.
Well, before we move on, I guess I go to our SVC standings on boys and girls. And again, want to thank another sponsor here, Valero. That's the official sponsor of SVC standings for us on our website. And I tell you, I look at these Uniota teams coming back, and I think it's pretty fair to put the bullseye on them. I don't disagree with what you're saying with some of the teams and boys and girls going to be able to close that gap. But I guess I'll throw a little fair unfair at you, Jeremy. Do you feel like fair to call Uniota the favorite, or is there a specific team in boys or girls that you think is going to jump out there and maybe in the preseason and demand a little bit more headline?
Well, certainly, I think you're going to have Zane Trace on the boys' side that have a little chip on their shoulder. They're going to have a really bad taste in their mouth with as good a season that they had last year going into the final week or so, where they end up losing the conference and then having a disappointing loss in the sectional as well. So I think you're going to see some kids come back extremely hungry, and Zane Trace really is going to be one of the favorites, I feel. In the Southeast District at the Division III level, along with Portsmouth, to be challenging for a spot in the Final Four next year. I don't mean to put too much pressure on them, but at the same time, I think that's what you're looking at next year. I think you're looking at Unioda and Zane Trace not only challenging each other for the title, but really looking to extend their postseason.
Well, that's awesome stuff. I know I look forward to basketball every year, and this upcoming year will be no different. So again, that is fun to look back at those two for the Tanks, and we'll see in the upcoming year if they're able to do the same.
Number four.
Well, in that four spot, Jeremy, we go one elite step short, and obviously that title's playing on the words of the Elite Eight and being one step short of the Final Four, and it takes us back to the fall again in volleyball, where Unioda in Division II and Edina in Division III both lose in the regional championship. And as always, the SVC so well represented in the postseason. I know Westfall and Paint Valley and Huntington joined those two teams as sectional champs, and then Huntington onto the district runner-up finish. Westfall on into the Sweet 16, and then it comes down to Unioda and Edina on that particular Saturday, where they both stuck their nose in and competed hard. I know along the way, when we think of storylines for this type of show, couldn't help but think of the Edina win over Alexander to help them advance there, where Laura Smith goes to 617 career wins, Ohio's fourth best all time. And in on that stage, the way Adolson of Edina continues to grow into one of the great players in our league, and some of these younger kids that early in the year that maybe were struggling a little bit really started to grow into the role that Coach Smith wanted. And then for Unioda, a group that I know that I'd kind of been hard on in the previous year and really into this year, and how they really started to grow up right around the second half of the season, I could really start to see it. Maybe some would say it was too late in the SVC situation, but boy, could you see it when you watched them compete, and they really rolled into the Division II tournament and really started to move through the bracket like no other Unioda team's been able to do in Division II since the school started to grow a little bit, other than maybe some of the Unioda baseball teams. I was trying to think of some of the different teams that had been able to do that, and those are some of the situations I started to think about. But I guess, Jeremy, I know you follow volleyball really closely. I guess when you think back to the postseason and you see those two particular SVC schools, both of which didn't even win the league, make that type of tournament run in two separate divisions, just your thoughts on the SVC volleyball then and where it's going, and just some of your memories from this past fall when it comes to volleyball.
Well, we talked about it earlier. Just, it's the gold standard, I think in the SVC and in the entire region, the SVC volleyball is as good as it gets. And, I think everybody understands that. And, you look at the amount of ranked opponents that Unioda defeated on their way, the tournament trail. Edina is always, very well respected at the state level. So, I think next year what you're going to see is, kind of reap the rewards of this. Is I expect to see both of these teams ranked fairly highly all year long at the state level. And, they're going to have a lot of expectations as they both kind of turned the corner, and, Edina regaining prominence and Unioda trying to duplicate what they were able to do. But by no means will that become a two-dog race. We know that the depth of the league's not going to allow for that. So, night in and night out, I expect nothing any different than we had this past year. And it's just amazing to see the collective talents, the athleticism, but most importantly, I think what there is in the SVC in terms of volleyball is the competitiveness and just the desire to win and to succeed. And I know the kids take it personally when they're playing against some of the other kids in the league, that they think, everybody talks about so and so, and they really take that personally and take it as a chip on their shoulder. And I think that's why you see just phenomenal matches night in and night out.
Well, I think moving forward in the next year, I know some of the bottom half of the league gets hit by graduation, and it's probably fair to say that you're going to see a little bit more of a noticeable gap from top to bottom. But make no mistake about it, the top half of the league is still going to be really, really good, really competitive, and definitely going to be fun to watch some head-to-head matchups to see who kind of is able to jump out in front early on and then see how it plays out through 14 matches.
Number 3.
Well, Jeremy, one of my favorite ones, if I'm being honest, I think back to all of the games I watched. In this number 3 spot, I go with one bad snap. I go back to week 9 of football. It was Westfall's Aintrace. Westfall was first in goal from inside the 1 in that game and had a bad snap for a loss of 11 yards. And Zane Trace is able to hold him out of the end zone there to win 26-20. And obviously that shakes up the entire standings when you think about it. I didn't want to forget about a week 6 game I watched, and I think you'll remember this one too, where Uniota beats Westfall 34-32 in a game where Westfall had led 26-7 in the second quarter. But as I think of the two Westfall losses, I guess the thing that intrigues me the most about this Zane Trace one is the fact it comes in week 9, and keep in mind that this led to Westfall eventually ending with 2 losses. It kept Zane Trace at just 2 losses, and it kind of allowed a Paint Valley team to join in there at Tri-Champs as well. All 3 make the playoffs. Westfall competes really hard, loses by 2. Paint Valley for a little while, and then Zane Trace was just in completely over their head against the superior opponent. But nonetheless, throw the postseason to the side, and we go back to this regular season, this one bad snap kind of dictated everything. Jeremy, I don't know if this is fair, unfair, maybe biased to me, Paint Valley, or whatever. When I think back at the football season, I saw Paint Valley as kind of the superior team early and often. And as they got into the middle of the season there, I don't want to say ended up coming undone, but they kind of had some things happen to them that they put themselves behind the 8-ball a little bit, and they lost a couple games, and it kind of opened the door up a little bit, and Westfall really started to take advantage. And then obviously here in week 9, Zane Trace takes advantage, and we end up at this tri-championship and kind of makes the football league on paper at least look with like it had a lot of parity. I guess, Jeremy, when you look back to the fall and you think football, do you look at it that way? Did you see a league of great parity, or did you see it maybe the way I did a little bit, where just a couple of these crazy plays where Westfall, this particular snap and some situations that Paint Valley got themselves into where it led to a couple losses. Just your thoughts on the football league parity, or just kind of a weird scenario that kind of got out of hand and led to some crazy finishes?
Well, I think there was a lot of inconsistency with the football league, and I don't know how much that's a negative. That's just typical nature. You're going to have years where you've got a team that you think in Paint Valley was superior, but they were some of their best players were young players. They had to overcome things like any great teams do, and sometimes it just doesn't pan out like you think it's going to, and it opens things up to athletes, and you talk about a couple weird plays and a couple momentum shifts. I think the one thing that sticks out to me from the football season is I don't know that we had great all-time players. I think we have some kids that might be on that list by the time they're done. But I think you saw some athletes, you just have tremendous games, in some case a tremendous half, but the ability just to make plays in critical situations, that's what made it exciting and what impressed me most about the football season.
Well, I also want to throw in there just the phenomenal year that Des Perkins had at Southeastern. I know the Panthers finished 2-5, but what a special athlete he was to watch. Just a game changer. But I will say this before we move on. I think with the way the league played out, you throw in the Tyler Henne injury early in the year and how the sophomore Dunkel had to take over there. It's interesting to see how that's going to influence that program moving forward. Adina really started to grow up as the year went on. Piketon still has some quality seniors returning. So definitely can be an interesting year in the SVC in football in the fall of 2014 here in just a few months. Now, that's crazy to say that, but it's true. So it'll be fun to watch. It'll be interesting to see. You know, you mentioned earlier when we come around to the fall to see some of the new names and some of the special athletes that have gotten a year older and a year stronger. So that's something we'll definitely look forward to.
Number two.
Well, Jeremy, in that number two slot, I tell you, when I think of big stories throughout the year on the website or just talking to as many people as I do, I think it would be impossible to do a top 10 countdown without having one of these top couple spots go to the talk of SVC expansion. And it's just, you know, like it or not, it's something you can't ignore. It's been in the news. And it's on the minds of a lot of different people. We've had some great talk here on SVC Sports Talk. I look back through the shows and I was thinking, I know we had the sports banner where Uniota sets the record versus Paint Valley being the small school with some of the postseason success that was brought on here by the baseball team making the regional and now the softball team making the special Final Four run. As well as some of the track kids, and that capped off an incredible postseason year, if you will, for Paint Valley. And then some of the league success, enough to keep Uniota Zane Trace Westfall happy, and is the postseason success enough to keep a Paint Valley happy if they are able to stay Division IV? So, Jeremy, go back through everything you talked about. If you're going to put a cap on it, where are we at on the SVC expansion talk, and what are maybe give the fans something that you would like to see answered or decided as this talk is obviously going to gain momentum going into the next season?
I think the most interesting thing to me, I mean, there's no question about it. There's been very few weeks that have gone by that feedback related to the show or talk related to the conference has not went in the direction of expansion, you know, and whether it be, you know, parents that I'm in contact with at our events, or whether it's been, you know, coaches in the league at the junior high, at the high school level, parents in the league, you know, from other schools at the junior high and high school level. I got a lot of perspective, and I think what surprised me the most was that most people were actually in that I spoke to were actually in support in some shape or form. And I honestly thought I would get more feedback on the hesitant variety or the no way variety. And I that really makes me think that, you know, it's a more open situation than it has been in the past.
Well, you know, Jeremy, a couple years ago, it might have even been last year, there was a show that we were doing. My brother and I believe were the two doing it at the time where we were talking. Someone had asked, is it better to win a league title or make one of those special runs in the postseason? And, you know, that's such a great debate because I think we all agree that it's harder to win the league title, but I think we agree that, you know, we always remember the last thing that's happened a little bit, and that makes the postseason so special. I guess the interesting point that's come from me from a Paint Valley perspective is I've watched our, me being a teacher and coach out there, I've watched our reaction to the postseason success going back into football and cross country and watching it in wrestling and in volleyball and then watching it in basketball and then now watching it in baseball and then now in softball and even track. It's just interesting to see, is that going to be enough for some of these small schools to hang on to? So I guess if I were to look at something moving forward, is there been enough of that happen at some of the lower schools in terms of enrollment that might make them think a little bit longer before breaking this thing up? And then on the other side, I guess it'll just be interesting to see will the bigger schools be able to do enough with their non-league schedule, especially now, say, basketball has gone to 8 non-league games, and some of the other sports, will they be able to do enough with their schedules to maybe allow them to set themselves up for some more postseason success? So I think postseason success or lack thereof has probably become the late headline for me as I look at the growth of this SVC expansion talk. And as we move into the following season, that'll be something interesting for me to talk to some people throughout the offseason.
And the number one highlight from SVCSportsZone.com's Year in Review.
Well, Jeremy, in the top spot, yeah, fans, again, you can disagree with me if you want. Let me know. Jeremy, you can disagree with me right now. I guess when I was putting the list together, I just thought it would be completely unfair. With this being our final show, it's obviously, you know, the last time we're going to be on the air before this all plays out. I go ahead and title it Still Being Written. I mean, look, I think there's an SVC state championship or state championships out there somewhere. When I look at the special run that Westfall makes in softball, beating the undefeated Wheelersburg team, and they're off to the Final Four. I watched with my own eyes Paint Valley. I was told the team in the regional final was supposed to be the number one team in the state. And I'm telling you right now, you can call me biased, black and gold, whatever. They were just simply better in every aspect. Their offense was better. They defended better. Their pitcher was much, much better. And, you know, that Paint Valley team is locked and loaded. If with seven seniors in that lineup, again, seven seniors that have seen Morgan Gino how many times now in the last 4 years or 3 years, and Elena Lytle and Brooke Blevins and all these kids, I just think they're locked and loaded in Division Four, not just to go up there and make an appearance, but to go up there to win the thing. And then I go over to track and I look at double regional champions like a Dotillion and a Baker and the distances they're throwing the shot and the disc at. And then you look at like a Goldsmith and some of these other kids throughout the league. Yeah, Jeremy, I guess that's where I'm going to leave the number one spot. Maybe I'm just going to turn all SVC fan now, and I'm just going to say that this number one spot's still waiting to be written in this upcoming week. You know, your thoughts. I know you follow softball, and you do such an incredible job of describing it for the fans and for myself every week. I know all the way back to the preseason, you were big time high on Westfall. And when I asked you for kind of an X Factor headline to watch, you said really pay attention to the Newland girl and how she can grow in the circle as the year goes. So I guess I'll give you a chance to respond to softball first here and what you're excited about in the upcoming week with two teams into the Final Four.
Well, I mean, just I hope everybody's paying attention. I hope everybody is understanding that it's not a fluke. It's not like the brackets fell apart. That these are two really good teams from a really good softball conference. And I'm telling you, you know, when you talked about Strasburg Franklin, you know, not only are they number one team in the state, they're the defending state champions. And, you know, to be honest, Paint Valley had little trouble with them. And, you know, they ran up against a very legitimate and a very seasoned Portsmouth Notre Dame team. And, you know, they handled the pressure. I mean, there's nothing more intense in a 0-0 game heading to the seventh inning. And to be able to prevail, you know, it's just an awesome run. And, you know, there's no question that they've got a chance to win the whole thing. And I just hope everybody's watching that. And with Westfall, Wheelersburg, very dominant team. You have two very elite level teams in Division III. Wheelersburg was one, Bloom Carroll the other. You know, and Westfall proved that they had the confidence and that they had the ability to continue to put pressure up and down their order as they've done all year, to make plays in the outfield and to get things done. And when you're able to do that, all you need is a break. And if they're the ones that get the break, there again, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all for them to be competitive and to have a chance of making the final and maybe even pulling the upset, because everybody knows that, you know, in Division III, Bloom Carroll, state runners up 2 years ago, state champion last year, the pressure's solely on them. So that puts Westfall in a great spot.
Well, certainly. And don't want to leave track out either, Jeremy. When you look at the incredible athletes that we have going to represent us at the state level. One of them already being a state champion in her career in the Baker Girl at Paint Valley, but really a handful of kids going up there with the opportunity not just to go and make a showing, but to go and win the whole thing. Obviously, when that's your goal, making the All-Ohio finish is obviously in the cards as well. So just the excitement level that you have as a fan following these kids into the track state tournament this weekend.
Well, there again, you know, I think you said it best. The great thing about the track events is you can set your goals and you kind of have an idea of what that number will be, whether it's a time or a distance. You kind of have a goal, what it's going to take to get there and whether or not you have a legitimate shot. So when you can set your goals at the types of levels that give you an opportunity to win a state championship, it seems to me like that would be so much more realistic than all the factors that come into winning a team championship. And it really, takes resolve and it takes motivation and determination to know that, hey, I can achieve this number. And if I do, it's very likely that, you know, I'm going to win a state title. I mean, I can't imagine there's anything more fulfilling than that. And, you know, we definitely have athletes in DeTe and Baker Goldsmith that they could make that happen.
Well, it's an exciting list, 10 down to 1. SVC fans, you can let us know what you think of the list, what we left out. Let us know at admin1@svcsportzone.com. And, you know, Jeremy, before we get out of here for the final time, we had a late email come in that you have not had a chance to see, and it really got me thinking even during the recording here. So I want to kind of throw it to you and just get your, that way we can get your true reaction here as we look at, you know, we've looked back at the entire year. We've looked ahead to a special week for some athletes coming up here in the SVC. Now we're looking at 2014, 2015 predictions. And this email is asking me, going back to the SVC expansion talk, which is, we just said, not a week goes by where we don't get something. It's saying as we look ahead into next year that they think all varsity team titles could be won by one of two schools. Is this not enough proof right here that SVC expansion is long overdue? So I guess as we look to some of our predictions, I won't ask you to go through all the sports and think who's going to win the league and who's not. But do you think that's possible, where just a couple schools could take home every league title? And is that enough proof, or is that something that's just something that we've been talking about all along, and it is what it is right now, and that the process is going to be much longer than making a quick decision right now?
Well, you know, I think that's a fair statement, and there's no question that, you know, if I had to sit down and have conversations with people from each school, I would find it hard pressed not to gather enough evidence to kind of feel the same way that as this emailer does. In the fact that, you know, is this really what's best for my school? And, you know, when it comes down to 6, 7, 8 schools, and possibly even one of the schools that you're referring to, is this really what's best for our school? And to look at that from your own personal standpoint first, before you consider the overall effects, you know, conference wide, I just think it would be really hard to argue that anybody would say this is really what's best.
You know, that's really, really interesting. They didn't give the two schools, so I'm not going to fill in the blanks here. But just as a fan who thinks about this stuff a lot and does different things, I did just kind of run through all the varsity sports. I think there's a couple schools out there, like a Paint Valley and a couple sports, and a Dean of Volleyball is going to have something to say about that. There's various things going on throughout the year. But that's an intriguing email, because on paper, when you think of the top 2-3 contenders, that's a pretty fair statement. So that's definitely an email that kind of gets you thinking as an SVC fan going into the next year. So I appreciate the feedback. It just never stops coming. Jeremy and I really want more feedback from this list as well, even though we won't be back on the air. Let us know. I usually try to empty the inbox a little bit throughout the summer and keep things posted. Also try to, since we're not going to be on the air, I'll really try to utilize some Shout-O-Matic in the upcoming week. Keep you posted on how Westfall Paint Valley softball doing as well as the track. But I guess I'll go full circle before we get out of here. Fans, really let us know what you want in 2015. Would you like to see Jeremy and myself out on the road a little bit more, adding some game coverage in football, volleyball in the fall? Just what are some things you'd like to see the website do? Because as we continue to grow, we definitely want to make sure we're covering as many things. So, Jeremy, I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for all you do for the website and for the show. And Bruce, I want to thank you as well. All of the sponsors on the website have just been incredible for us. So, you know, Jeremy, before we do get out of here, any final thoughts, anything you want to throw out there to the SVC fans to be thinking about in the off season?
Well, first of all, you know, I want to thank you for having me on every week. It's been very enjoyable. You know, I think, you know, you and I and Bruce have developed a nice relationship, and we certainly are always kind of thinking about the future and get excited about the things that we talk about, and, you know, more importantly, get excited when we have so much feedback that really gets us thinking and allows us to bring things to light and promote the kids in the conference. And I thank you for that opportunity. I thank Bruce for the work that he does, and thank the sponsors and the fans of the show that make it possible.
Well, well said. And I'll tell you what, SVC fans, and until next fall, for all the great people in at Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, for Bruce Knox and DBK Media Services, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.